Welcome to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast where seeing things differently inspires limitless possibilities. The Limitless podcast was created in order to inform, educate, entertain, and share stories from within the blind and partially sighted community that show that the opportunities for those who are blind or partially sighted are truly limitless. And now, it is my pleasure to introduce you to your host, the founder of Blind Beginnings,
Welcome back to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. I'm your host, Sean Marcellet, and we've got another exciting episode for you today. We're talking about navigating social situations and feeling safe when you are blind or partially sighted. And we're kind of talking about young adult situations. So university life, transitioning to adulthood, starting to go out with your young adult friends, etc. So if that feels like a topic you want to listen to, then great. And if you are a young child and you're a long way from university, then maybe give this one a miss. We might be talking about some young adult type things. Okay. I'm excited to welcome my co-hosts today, Keisha and Acacia. Welcome back to the podcast.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you.
So Acacia, this was your topic idea. Do you want to tell our listeners why you wanted to talk about this?
Yeah, so I just finished my first year of university.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
thank you. So you know, lots of new, like, oh, I'm living on my own now. So there's stuff like, there's just lots of things I had questions about, like sort of dealing with taking transit at night and dealing with like busier situations where you don't necessarily have a parent or someone that like knows you super well to look out for you in those situations, and just sort of how to be safe in those situations and how to feel comfortable as a blind or visually impaired person.
I love it. It's a great topic and definitely something we all have to navigate as we become adults. So we're going to flip things around today and you're going to ask Keisha and I your questions. So Keisha, are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Do you want to remind our listeners, like, you got some experience in this area?
Yeah. So I guess I graduated my bachelor's degree 2 years ago and definitely had lots of fun university experiences and also rigorous university experiences. but yes, I definitely have some wisdom and some experience. I've been saying the word experience way too much, but some wisdom and some perhaps, you know, tips that may be prove useful and keep people safer. We love to be safe.
For sure. Yes. And I've been around the block a few times, so I also have some tips. So. Okay.
This sounds fun.
All right, Acacia, you can take it away.
All right. Well, I'll just start with, do you guys worry about, like, if you're out with a group of people, sort of what would happen if you got separated from that group of people? Like, what do you kind of do to make sure, you know, you've got a backup plan or you can just stop that from happening at all?
Yeah, such a good question. Do you want to go first, Keisha?
Sure. Yeah. So it depends on the social situation. So for me, often before I even do, like, say I'm invited to something, I will often look up the map or I'll kind of come up with some plans just in case, because I don't, like, I've been left in the mud before, not always on intentionally or anything, but just, you know, it happens and I hate it. So I like to have a little plan. So maybe I just know where the nearest, you know, bus stop is. How do I get home? I always have a plan to get home. And, you know, no matter where it is, just how to get home or how to get somewhere that I feel comfortable in case it's an uncomfortable situation. And so that's one way. Another thing, like, yeah, I mean, I do feel really nervous about that prospect, right? Just especially if it's like a really busy environment, or if it's an environment where, you know, those around, like a bar or something, where those around me might be a little bit unpredictable or rowdy, or in a busy city where there's just like tons of interesting characters that I'm not sure about, or yeah, walking alone at night as a woman can be kind of scary. So that's my answer for that for now.
I wrote down, trust your friends.
Yeah.
Know where you're going. So like, know the address. So if you do need to book an Uber or call a taxi or something like that, you know the address of the place that you're at. Also, make sure your phone is fully charged before you go out. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you could also talk to your friends beforehand. Like, if I lose you on the dance floor, or if I lose you in the mosh pit, or if I, you know, whatever, let's plan to meet over here at some big, like, landmark that you can find.
I've got a funny story for that too.
Do you? Oh, let's hear it.
Okay, well, my friends and I, for nightclubs or dance floors of any variety, live bands or whatever, I have this, either I'll have them like wear a bracelet that is very unique.
Or I'll
like, you know, I'll teach them a little hand squeezing pattern. So if somebody grabs my hand and they don't do the squeeze pattern, I know it's not one of them.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
That's
and that way too, on the dance floor, like, you know, you might have random people grabbing you at any time, like wanting to dance or whatever. And sometimes it's super fun. Sometimes it's creepy, but, and so, yeah, so it just, it's nice to know. I love it. Cause I have had my friends come up to me, give me the squeeze, and I'm like, hey, how's it going? You're back.
That's really good. Yeah. I used to feel really uncomfortable on the dance floor because I couldn't even tell if I was facing my friends anymore, like not being able to see in the dark and in that situation. And it's like, you get turned around and now am I dancing with someone else and smiling at them? And what message does that send? So there's like all sorts of challenges with clubs, but yeah, but I'm thinking of like a outdoor concert or, you know, that kind of environment where it is
sprawling.
Easy. Yeah. And I think if you know how to find the porta potties, or you know how to find, you know, something that has,
or like you can smell the donut, this mini donut truck or something.
So pick something that works for you, and then you can let people know, if we lose each other, let's meet up here. Mm-hmm. I think having cell phones makes this a lot easier. Back in my day, that wasn't really a thing. So at least you can call each other and try to connect that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Definitely the, like, having a plan ahead of time that doesn't necessarily, like, just in case, I don't know, you drop a phone or whatever, like, that seems pretty solid, like,
just
having somewhere to meet, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes I'll even, depending on the circumstance, I might even let other people know, like, where we're going, right? If, you know, if if my friends kind of, you know, go off somewhere, then I might have another person on standby just like, hey, you, just so you know, I'm here. And I'm going to text you in half an hour and let you know where I've gone. Right. Like that it's always great to have like a friend or a parent or whatever, you know, who's tuned in to kind of just making sure you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned like knowing how to get home. Do you have any strategies for navigating transit at night? Or just like in other, maybe like less controlled situations, if that makes sense?
Yeah. So for me, for nighttime transiting, again, like if I'm going to be solo transiting at night, I'm going to probably text somebody. That's makes me feel better. And then like, even if I don't have anyone to call, or, you know, even if people are sleeping, I'll pretend to do a phone call while I'm walking the streets alone, because I mean, often there is someone on the other end, but sometimes there's not. And I'm really good at faking conversations. and it's safer. Like, people are less inclined, sketchy, you know, people on the street, if there are any around, are less inclined to come up to you if they know that you've got someone on the line. So you can be like, emergency, there's someone grabbing me. And then, you know, so things like that. I carry usually like one of those screamer chains that like you can like pull the pin or whatever, and it like does an alarm or whatever. Mm-hmm. I haven't actually had to use it yet. Hopefully I never do, but that, and just like just being really aware. Like, it's a good idea. Like, may I say, if you're drinking, I wouldn't I would not recommend walking the streets alone. and because you might not be quite as aware. And like, that's when I would say, like, for me, that's when I'm going to take an Uber or a taxi or get someone to pick me up, because I just don't want, to be on transit and accidentally have something happen while I'm alone.
Yeah, I agree. I'm my bus stop is right in front of my complex, and I got lost one night after some drinks, just getting home from the bus stop that is right outside my complex. So I agree. Yeah. Faculties are not always as clear. I don't know. It's easy to get disoriented when you're not able to see. And
yeah, so,
yeah.
Yeah, like a sense of balance sometimes. Mm-hmm. The way yeah. I love it also.
Yeah, there's that too. I was gonna say, if you take an Uber, you can share your ride with somebody. I've never actually done this, but like with a friend or a partner, so they can watch the car and make sure that it's going where it's supposed to be going, if you're nervous about that. I don't know that you need to be nervous about that, but that is something that
just in case.
Allows you to do. Sure. And I definitely always do the whole getting on the train from New West, or, you know, whatever, like just giving people usually my husband, ETA, or, you know, I'm heading home, should be. So just if I don't end up there, or waiting for the bus at the SkyTrain now, or, you know, just kind of like updating on my whereabouts. So at least if I don't make it home, somebody knows and will send a search party or come looking.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of that Uber thing before. That's cool.
Another thing, yeah, and additionally to that is when you get your Uber, and when it's like driver is on their way, it'll have their license plate number and their car color and type.
Right.
So that can also be like a helpful thing to send to, just in case.
Yeah. And you can, you know, do the pretend phone call thing in the Uber, like, yeah. Hi, husband, I'm in the Uber. It's a blah, blah, blah. It's a Toyota tonight, or it's a Tesla, or
let the driver hear you. Because there's a darn Tesla again.
Yeah, totally.
How do you manage asking for help in some of those busier social situations when that's really not something you want to do? Like, whether it's like finding things, finding people, or just like kind of like to get a better sense of what's going on.
When you say it's not what you want to do, do you mean like you don't really want to bother the friends you're with by asking them?
Yeah. I mean, whether you're like, you're with people that you don't know that well and you don't want to ask help to find people, or like it's just like everyone's preoccupied doing their thing, having a good time, whatever, and you know, you don't want to be like, oh, can you help me find the bathroom or the whatever.
So my tip for the bathroom is always wait for someone else to say they're going. And sometimes that does mean hold it a little bit, but if they're going to, hopefully they're going to say I'm heading to the bathroom, and then I'll just be like, oh, can I come with you? And I have suffered sometimes waiting until someone else has to go in that situation. I have a hard time with this one. If it's not people I know really well, and it's the first time I'm hanging out with them, or, you know, and I want them to invite me again, and I don't want to be too needy. So I do try to kind of like only ask for what I absolutely need. And sometimes that does mean missing out on a little bit of what's going on. And I don't know that that's the right way to be, but that's just my honest answer. And so yeah, when it, I don't know, I kind of feel I have to prove myself before I get comfortable with like, hey, what food is there? Or, you know, hey, what's going on over there? Why is everyone laughing, or whatever? What about you, Keisha?
I definitely have shared very similar practices as Sean in the past, but as I'm getting older, I'm kind of like reflecting on it and being like, you know, yeah, I kind of am trying to unlearn that. And I'm just like trying to be like, okay, hey, if I need something, I want to be more like clear and just be like, hey, this is, I need this, please. And then, yeah, but I mean, I still do catch myself being like, I really have to go to the bathroom, but this is really awkward. Like I think I caught myself doing that just like a couple weeks ago, even.
There is something about being an adult and asking someone to take you to the bathroom that just feels
something it a little
does,
ick.
It feels icky for sure. Or for me, like I have, if I'm like going to just have like a Friday, you know, relax, play some cards at an establishment with some friends, I usually go to like my favorite same like three pubs or whatever, and I have memorized certain tables in proportion to like the bathroom, or like I've memorized where, you know, the bar stools are in proportion to the bathroom. So then I just kind of like, I've figured out how to sneak off, and I'm like, I'm always like, why don't we sit over here? Like, but that doesn't help social situations. Yeah, I think I'm, as I'm getting older, I'm asking more though, just like that, or asking like people from the establishment, whether it be like a waitress or something like that, just to help me out in case other people are busy. And I always am like, hey, once you're done, whatever you're doing, if she's holding like a bunch of plates or something,
right,
then then I'll be like, hey, once you've like dropped those off, if you're not too busy, do you mind, you know, showing me where the washroom is? And then, you know, usually they are. So
that is a really good idea. Putting it back on the staff rather than the friends. Mm-hmm. And then the friends kind of hear that and are like, oh, I'll show you, or they don't offer and whatever. But, you know, either way, you get the information and you don't feel like you're burdening your friends.
Yeah.
I mean, that could also be in reading the menu or asking questions about the menu. I guess that's another situation where if I'm out somewhere with a group of people, actually this happened recently to me, I met up with people from elementary school that I hadn't seen in a long time, and nobody offered. And, you know, I think I asked the server a few questions and then ordered what I figured would probably be on a pub menu in the end. But yeah, you can ask the server for help with that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, menus are always, especially like menus on the wall or just mm-hmm. when it's not asking to.
Yeah, definitely challenging.
Hi there, listeners. I just wanted to interrupt to tell you how much we appreciate you, but we really want to get our message out there to as many people as possible. So if you are enjoying this podcast, please help us by sharing, liking, subscribing, leave us a rating. And we are so grateful to you for listening each week. And now back to this episode.
On the topic of asking for help in social situations, when there's situations where there's like shared food, like pizza boxes or like a bunch of like bowls of food or like bottles or like anything where there's sort of like uncontrolled food laid out in like busy situations, do you guys have any strategies for sort of navigating that?
Sorry, uncontrolled food sounds like, I know what you mean, but it just sounds really funny.
I feel like I've used that word like 10
times. Food on the loose.
For me, I have found that there are often people loitering around food tables. And so sometimes okay, if I'm in a situation where there's that kind of food, I probably am with somebody, because I probably wouldn't go to a situation like that by myself. So I guess initially I would get somebody to give me an overview of what's good and what's there. Sorry. And then once I know what's there, I will navigate it myself and be like, I'll walk up to the table and be like, so where's the 7-layer dip again? And then whoever's around will kind of direct me my hand above where it is. And then I kind of figure out where it is so I can take more. So that's kind of, and there's always food. I mean, there's always people around the food table. Like the food table is never empty of people, I feel. So, and if it was pizza, I would just be like, what kind of pizzas do we have here? I don't know. I feel more comfortable in that environment when it's like a party and there's people are drinking, and I don't know, I feel like everybody's more relaxed, including me maybe, and I have an easier time asking just whoever happens to be around.
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat in that aspect where I'll ask people to kind of orient me from the get-go, and then I'll kind of like, sometimes I'll just you know, reach and grab something and be like, oh, wow, I don't really like green pepper, but I guess I'll have some.
You are brave.
But I like most things. So usually once somebody's told me what's on the table, if I really don't like it, I'll try to just stay away from that quadrant of the table.
Yes.
But then I'll just like snack away at the other things. Or like when I have someone's assistance, I'll make sure I get myself a big old plate right away, and then that'll do me for a while, like a big snack plate. Mm. And then I just don't have to come back. My favorite setup though is like when we're just sitting around the coffee table and there's just like three bowls of chips, and you know, you don't have to worry so much.
Yeah.
And then like I was quite a few months ago, I was at a big potluck setup, and it was like immense, and it was just like, whoa, I didn't know anybody except my partner was there, and I just had him like tell me everything, and I was just like, this is so overwhelming. I'm so glad I have you right now, because this would be, yeah, crazy, with especially in the fact that there was not really that many people that I knew around.
Mm-hmm.
It can be awkward, especially when you're like, oh, I really want to get more of those cupcakes, but somebody grabbed them for me, so I have no idea where they were grabbed from. Then I don't want to go feel around the table and touch all the cupcakes or all the, you know, whatever sandwiches or whatever, and be that guy. So yeah, I mean, yeah, I'll usually just ask the loiterers as well.
Or even like, I sometimes want a lot of one thing because it's the thing I really, really like, but I don't know how much, or, you know, so like someone helps me get food the first time, but I really liked one thing and I want more of that, but I don't know if it would be polite to go for seconds of that thing, because is there enough to go around? So there's kind of that issue as well.
Yeah.
So I usually undereat in a potluck situation because I'm nervous about taking too much. And then I find out after that there's so much food left over, and I'm like, damn, I would have had more. I just didn't know.
It's actually funny you say that, because like, so say I'm doing like a family dinner. This is not such a big deal in my, like if it's my family, because they'll just be like, wow, Keisha, why did you take so much? But like, say it's like another person's family and it's like a serve yourself dinner where there's like, you know, a bowl of salad and then there's like some chicken or whatever. And like, it's easy enough. Like I tell them, you know, can you put the utensils on the right hand side, and I'll just grab them and I'll do myself. But then it's like, if, you know, people went before me and there's still people behind me, like how much salad did that guy take?
Uh-huh. Totally.
And like, and then what if I just took like way more salad than anyone else?
Yes. Exactly. That is a big fear.
Actually, when I was a little kid, I remember one time we were having like just dinner at the family dinner table, and I remember taking the salad tongs, and I didn't know how to like portion very well back then, and I just like grabbed half the salad.
Or you end up with all one thing, like all the lettuce but none of the other good stuff.
None of the goodies. Yeah. Exactly. So funny.
I'm always looking at other people like, did I take too much pasta? Did I take not enough? Like what's going on here?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Even more about food, because that is just, that's just part of socializing, I guess. Do you ever worry about like taking food or drinks that other people give you? If like, obviously like not if they're people you know super well, but like, you know.
I've got stories for this. May I?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so well, I mean the obvious one I can think of is like if someone say were to buy me a drink at an alcohol establishment, and if I don't know the person, I'm less, especially, okay, for some reason, of course, if it's a man, I'm less inclined to accept if I don't know him, because I'm nervous and you just don't know what their intentions are. If it's a woman, I might take it, but most likely I just won't accept a drink from a stranger. Or if they offer, I'll say, okay, can you pay for it? But I'll get it.
Right.
And then I have full control, and I do cover my drinks usually when I'm in those settings, especially when they're busy or if you're at like a festival or something, because I just don't trust that people around me won't do something that I don't like. Here's the other story I have is recently I was hanging out while some of my friends were playing pool, at one of my favorite establishments, and I was just sitting back, and this gentleman came over, probably actually around my age, maybe a bit older, and he was really enamored with my dog. And of course, you know, he was nice, so I let him. I took the guide dog harness off and let him visit with Beau for a little bit. And then he was like, "Oh, I've seen you around," and da 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 da. And hey, and we got to talking about baking, and he just pulls a bag of cookies out of his pocket. And he was like, "Here, have these cookies." And I was like, "No, no, that's okay." And he's like, "No, no, I insist. I baked them." And I was, and I actually just straight up asked him. I said, "Are they laced?" And he was like, "Yeah, no." And I was like, "Okay, well, I still don't believe you," but I didn't say that. I just said, "Okay, thank you," because this is a kind of environment where you could, you know, conceivably ask that, and it could conceivably happen. And I didn't feel shy of asking. I was like, "You know what? I don't know. You seem a little bit strange." And but actually, I mean, I didn't have any of them because I was worried. But I think that he did mean it out of good intention, because I later heard that he does regularly give people baking, and it's not at all bad. But but I wasn't sure, and you know, that whole "don't take candy from strangers" thing I took to heart. What about you, Sean?
Well, again, I wrote "trust your friends," but I probably wouldn't take a drink from anybody I don't know and trust. Like, I'm thinking of a party situation where somebody hands me a drink and it's already open. If I don't know that person and I don't trust them, I would think that was, you know, like, I'll just open my own drinks, thanks. Mm-hmm. I also, in a public place, I always finish my drink before going to the washroom or onto the dance floor. Never leave your drink unattended. And I actually keep it in my hand until it's empty. Which does mean you drink a little faster, but if I'm putting it, you know, if it's on the table, you don't know what's going on with that. So,
And also, like, of course, like, when I'm saying drinks too, like, obviously this all applies to, like, if a Coca-Cola, like a water, anything, like if I'm out at a bar establishment, especially, I'm going to be covering it or holding on to it and being very aware of it.
And keeping your drink in your hand, I mean, also when the tables get crowded with other people's, like, it also just, like, now I know that's my drink. I don't have to feel around
cooties
and knocking over somebody else's or whatever. So it's a win-win.
Yeah. This is not the same situation at all. But even, like, I've been at, like, there's just been, like, stuff at my house, and I've accidentally, when I was younger, picked up one of my parents' friends' drinks because I thought it was water, and been like, "Oh my god, what did I just like, I don't know who this person is. I feel so bad." You just drank your random thing, but which is obviously a less extreme situation, but another reason to avoid that. Besides, like, cell phones, money, and just, like, the normal stuff, are there any items that you found helpful to have on you during, like, whether you're going out to a bar or going to a party or just going wherever?
I mean, for me, I always want to have something to keep me warm because I don't know if I'm going to end up outside for a long time. And, you know, it's just like I get really cold really easily. So that's always, like, top of mind for me. And then just, like, like, usually I have that safety keychain I was telling you about. And then sometimes, depending on if it's a, like, depending on what the thing is, sometimes I'll carry, like, a rechargeable power block with me, just in case I can't find a place to charge my phone. And then that just helps, like, as long as it's juiced up, it helps just that give me peace of mind that I will have something to communicate with, should anything go sideways.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing that I make sure to have, weirdly, is something to eat.
Oh, yeah, same, actually. Yeah.
A granola bar or something, just in case I can't find food. And I, you know, oh, and Advil. I always have Advil. Yeah. I get a lot of headaches, and especially if I don't eat. So there you go.
Hand in hand.
Yeah. But nothing really safety wise.
Yeah. And we talked about this a little bit earlier, but if you ever get stuck somewhere or just like have to leave an event by yourself, whether you were planning on it or not, how do you decide whether it's safe to take transit or whether you need to like call a cab or an Uber or something? Because I know I've just like, I've been in so many situations where I'm like, this is so frustrating because if I was sighted, I could just transit and I would be fine. You know, like I wouldn't worry about it, or at least as much, or like I could just walk back. And like, it's so frustrating that I can't do this, but I also like don't want to stress other people out. And sort of like, how do you make those calls?
I mean, for me growing up in the big city, I feel really safe on the SkyTrain or the bus. Like there's always other people around. And so it kind of depends. Like walking in busier environments feels safer sometimes than walking in a not busy environment. So if I was like downtown Vancouver, and I'm walking down Granville Street or something, which is pretty busy, to the SkyTrain station. And then, you know, I usually do transit. If I'm walking in a quiet neighborhood, sometimes I feel more vulnerable. Ironically, there's less people around, there's less cars driving by to see what's going on. So it kind of depends on where. But most of the time I do feel pretty safe on transit. I mean, if it was waiting for a bus stop at a secluded bus stop, I would feel more unsafe. But if I'm at a SkyTrain station, again, there's like multiple stops. So I think I'm very fortunate to live in a accessible city. And then I also am aware of like, how far do I have to walk when I get off the bus? And my bus stop is right in front of my complex. So again, that I feel pretty safe that way too. So it's not very often that I choose Uber.
Yeah. So I'm in the same boat. I agree fully with Sean, with the added caveat that like, of like, if it sounds like if I step out the, like wherever I am and it sounds like there's sketchy stuff going on, like yelling or fighting, then I'll be more cognizant. So for example, I used to live like, it's a well-known fact in Kamloops that parts of the North Shore are not really that safe. I used to live in the North Shore in the sketchy part. and it was definitely not like, I always tried to not come home on transit late at night, to that area. Just, I tried to get home during the daylight or get a ride because it's, you just never really knew what you were going to get. I've been followed before. I've had, you know, yelling and people fighting, you know, around me and stuff like that. And so, you know, it's like knowing when to cross the street to get out of a situation, or knowing that this is not the most safe location. So like just making sure you're doing it by daylight or having someone know that you're going that way, these sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other, like, I don't know, last pieces of wisdom?
The only other thing I was thinking of is I always make sure to dig out my keys, my house keys, before I get out of the Uber or taxi or off the bus, so that it's like in my pocket, accessible quickly. So I don't have to like stand at my front door for any length of time. Mm-hmm. I'm actually just as afraid of bears in my neighborhood as I am of like bad people. So that's a precaution for the bears as well. Just got to get inside quickly.
Yeah. To add to that, I would say like, just, I was always taught just don't be flashy with your cash or your cards.
Good one.
Just like, you know, being covert, being discreet, having, you know, knowing where your cash is or where your card is, so you can easily pull it out if you need to use it, rather than being like, oh, here's my wallet, look at all my bills. Like, yeah. Like as you flip through your folds of your wallet trying to find something. So yeah, just like being always aware of where things are. And then you don't run the risk of people kind of looking over and being like, oh.
I also use a crossbody purse, like, yeah, that kind of goes over my head and across my body, so no one could run by and grab it easily.
It's really funny. So I've been, because of where I live, is a, like also a high population of bears in the warm seasons, and I carry bear spray in my backpack all the time. And it just sits in my side pocket, but sometimes I forget that I have bear spray that I carry around. And then I bring that backpack like to downtown Kamloops. And I'm like, oh, hopefully nobody thinks I'm too threatening, like with this bear spray. But on the other hand, like it does make me feel kind of safer. Cause I'm like, hey, at least I have it in case anything happens.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's pretty potent. It's funny. I was saying to my partner the other day, well, I mean, at least I have it in case something happens. And then he was like, yeah, mace is better for that. Like if somebody attacks. And I was like, isn't bear spray mace? And he's like, no, mace is less powerful. Bear spray is really powerful. He's like, that's like spraying them with like the ultimate like spray. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I mean, in that situation, if you're attacking.
That's right. You get what you get.
You get what you get in terms of my spray. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, Acacia. Those were great questions. And hopefully, I'm sure there's lots of other people who benefited from hearing them. So thanks for bringing this topic to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for letting me ask those questions.
Yeah. And thank you, Keisha, for sharing your tips and tricks as well.
As always, a pleasure.
And thanks to all you for listening. I hope you will join us next time.
This podcast has been brought to you by Blind Beginnings, an organization based in Vancouver, Canada, that supports children and youth who are blind or partially sighted, along with their families. Music for this podcast is composed by Sean Bishop and Clement Chow. Production and audio editing by Rob Minot. For more information about Blind Beginnings and the work it does to support children and youth who are blind and partially sighted, along with their families, visit us on the web at www.blindbeginnings.ca, and also remember to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next time.